Agency managers will often tell you how budget sequestration has made it harder for them to fulfill their missions. Well, now there's evidence the Budget Control Act has put life in danger. One analyst says that seems to be the case for the Marine Corps aviators. They've experienced a spike in training accidents. Amy Schaefer, a research associate at the Center for a New American Security, tells Federal News Radio's Eric White how budget constraints affect Marine pilots.
One of the things that we've seen with the sequester is a decline in aviation budgets across all four services, but the Marines in particular have seen an immense spike in accidents that is really concerning. And so that sort of sparked my interest in looking into how this was affected.
Any numbers you can give me on the increase in the amount of aviation accidents that you said that there's a spike in there?
Absolutely. So in September of 2015, Marine Corps aviation fatalities actually reached a five-year high. They had 18 fatalities. And then only a few months later, in January of 2016, there was another crash that killed another 12 Marines.
So accidents are terrible. Is there a normal level of accidents that comes? Because, you know, obviously it's a dangerous game that they're playing there. But what is the normal amount, I guess, of accidents that you would usually see?
Right. So there's no question about it. Aviation is a dangerous business. But we did see a spike. We are seeing an abnormal high in the fact that we had 18 over the course of 2015.
And what role does sequestration play in that?
So what happened with the sequester is we saw the budget cuts happen overall, and this means that you're cutting flight hours, you're cutting the maintenance depots. So it's had a real snowball effect. There's less money for flight hours, less money for training. And now we're seeing a backlog where the Marine Corps just doesn't have enough of what they call ready basic aircraft for people to be trained on. So the production lines slowed down for all of these different aircraft, so they don't have the spare parts that they need. And maintainers had to be let go. So the maintenance depots have a backlog and they're not staffed the way that they should be. And then all of this has the effect of all of the resources having to go to the aviators and the planes that are currently deployed or right about to deploy, which is certainly as it should be. But it means that those who are back at home and training and first learning to fly the aircraft don't have the aircraft they need and don't have the flight hours they need. And these are complicated planes. So that really sets up a dangerous situation for the aviators that we're trying to keep proficient and trying to keep trained. And almost all of the accidents that we've seen have been involved with training.
We're speaking with Amy Schaefer. She's a research assistant at the Center for a New American Security. So is it a big sign of ignorance that a lot of us who aren't well versed in this subject like yourself seem to think like, oh, well, the planes are already, you know, made. That's fine. We'll just leave them there. Or these pilots are already trained. They don't need to, you know, sharpen their skills or anything. They'll be ready to go whenever we need them.
I certainly wouldn't say that it's a sign of ignorance, but with something like aviation, you do really have to maintain a training regimen in order to keep your proficiency. There's a certain minimum number of hours you're supposed to be getting every month, and we're seeing a lot of people in training who aren't getting those hours. And we put a lot of wear and tear on these planes over the past 15 years, so we are seeing them age sort of prematurely. And the initial plan for the F-18, they were supposed to be retired at about 8,000 hours, but we're pushing them well past that and trying to make modifications because of the toll all of the repeated deployments of the Marine Corps have taken on the airframes.
Are there any single stories of a plane that you've seen gone well above the 8,000 hours that you just mentioned?
I don't think there's any single story that necessarily sticks out, but unfortunately what we've seen is that with Congress's unwillingness to repeal the sequester, or even frankly pass a defense budget, we're not able to sort of fix the airframes that are showing the most amounts of stress. So what we've seen is a continuing resolution out of Congress, and that doesn't really do much to help this crisis. The Marines were hoping to have aviation readiness back as it should be by 2020, but this was a projection that counted on having a consistent budget from Congress and the ability to plan ahead in order to take care of all of these sort of maintenance depot backlogs and have the number of spare parts that they need. So what we're seeing now is the continuing resolution prevents them really from planning ahead the way they need to.
And for training, how much of a reduction in training has there been since the sequestration took place? Has it been, you know, is it drastically, is it like half the flight hours that they usually do or something like that? Or
so this is going to vary from squadron to squadron. And what we're seeing is General Davis, who's the commandant for aviation, has said that those who are deployed and those who are next ready to deploy are hitting the hours that they need. But there's really no guarantee that any of the other squadrons are going to be hitting what we would consider sort of the minimum training hours that they're supposed to have.
And so is more money really just the overall answer that, you know, there's no silver bullet or anything like that? Or can we reduce our capabilities to standards where we can afford to actually have fully trained pilots and fully capable aircrafts?
Right. So there are a couple of solutions here. And unfortunately, all of them seem to be untenable with the current political situation, which is that we either need to use the Marine Corps less so that they have the ability to sort of take stock of everything and really focus on rebuilding their readiness, or we need to ensure that they have a fully funded budget that they can plan ahead for the next 3, 4, 5 years even and try and dig themselves out of this hole that the sequester created.
We're speaking with Amy Schaefer, research assistant at the Center for New American Security. So I imagine you're not the only organization that took a notice to the spike in aviation accidents. Has DOD's Inspector General or anybody else said anything or came out with any sort of reports damning, you know, Congress's lack of funding towards these programs?
I'm certainly not the only one to take notice. This is actually something that Marine Corps leadership has been testifying to in front of Congress for the past couple of years, with General Neller citing aviation readiness as a huge concern for him. And then we've also seen that the DOD Inspector General is actually going to be investigating towards the end of 2017 whether, with the current number of planes and the current training hours, the Marine Corps aviation, whether it can even meet its minimum standards for training and proficiency, which is really concerning, because while we may have those who are deployed and about to deploy ready to go and meeting those minimum standards, if there's any sort of contingency and those who are back home in training have to be deployed, we're going to deploy people who aren't properly trained necessarily.
And I mean, this may be an obvious answer, but, you know, what effect does that have on morale or, you know, looking to recruit more aviators for the Marines? Is that having an effect? Has anybody mentioned anything about that from the leadership?
I don't know that we've necessarily seen any direct correlation to recruiting, but I certainly don't think it's a good thing when we have news stories about these various aviation crashes coming 1 month, every 2 months. And I think that that does maybe have an effect on what people think.
Just how big is the political situation in Congress to blame for this?
You know, I think it's one of those situations where Congress knows how damaging the sequester has been, but Marine Corps aviation is sort of serving as the canary in the coal mine. And we really need to pay attention because this does have a body count.
And I know that this specifically went towards the Marine aviation, but I imagine other branches are having similar issues with sequestration in place like that.
Absolutely. The other services are having issues. And specifically across the aviation community, all four services have been telling Congress that readiness is being eroded and this is a problem. And aviation is a dangerous business.
And it's one of the more expensive programs with the military. I mean, is the amount of funding that it requires and the different areas that there are and so many moving parts, is that making it difficult as well? Because maybe budget makers are saying, oh, well, this doesn't seem like it's that important or anything like that.
You know, these are $100 million aircraft. It's going to take a certain amount of funding to keep them safe and to keep them up to date. And I think that we have a commitment to the men and women who choose to serve in the armed forces to do right by them in that way.